Good evening and welcome to the May 15th, 2025 meeting of the Upper Marion Township Board of Supervisors. The time is 7:03 p.m. Please join me in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
We'll have a roll call starting on my right.
Greg Phillips.
Bill Genoway.
Carol Kenny.
Greg Wax.
Tony Hamaday, Township Manager.
Kaylee Melcher from the Solicitor's Office.
Amanda Lafty, Assistant Township Manager.
Next item on the agenda are the approval of meeting minutes, the April 3rd, 2025 zoning workshop minutes, the April 10th, 2025 business meeting minutes, and the April 17th, 2025 joint meeting minutes.
I'll make a motion to approve the minutes.
Second.
We have a motion from Supervisor Kenny, seconded by Supervisor Phillips, to adopt the minutes. Any questions, comments from the board? Questions, comments from the public? Hearing and seeing none, we'll be ready for a vote. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Passes 4-0. Chairperson's comments. I have just one comment early on, and that is that we are going to be having an executive session regarding personnel matters following this meeting. Also, some citizen board vacancies to read off. It's a short list tonight. The Economic Community and Development Committee, one vacancy. The Farmers Market Young Adult, one vacancy. Human Relations Commission, one vacancy for an alternate. Media Communications Board, one vacancy. Property Maintenance UCC Boards, one vacancy for an alternate. Public Safety Board, Young Adult, one vacancy. Upper Marion Foundation Subcommittee, one vacancy. Upper Marion Historical Commission, one vacancy. Also on the Historical Commission, a Young Adult, one vacancy. And the Zoning Hearing Board, alternate member, one vacancy. You heard a number of young adults as we end the school year and begin a new one in just a couple of months. If any of you at home know of any young adults that are entering their junior or senior years in high school or are entering college and would be interested in serving on one of these boards, it's great experience to learn a variety of communication techniques, interpersonal skills, and the technical aspects of that particular committee. So please pass the word. At this time, I will ask, is there anyone in the audience who has any public comment on any agenda items? Seeing no one standing up, we'll move on to new business. And the first one is a proclamation for National Police Week. And I believe Supervisor Kenny is going to read that. And Lieutenant Fisher is here to accept that.
So I shall go up there.
And as she's walking up there, also May the 15th is Peace Officers Memorial Day, which is today.
Okay, the proclamation is for National Police Week. Whereas the Congress and President of the United States have designated May 15th as Peace Officers Memorial Day and the week in which May 15th falls as National Police Week. And whereas the members of the Upper Marion Township Police Department play an essential role in safeguarding the rights and freedoms of the residents of Upper Marion Township. And whereas it is important that all residents know and understand the duties, responsibilities, hazards, and sacrifices of their law enforcement agency, and that members of our law enforcement agency recognize their duty to serve the residents by safeguarding life and property, by protecting them against violence and disorder, and by protecting the innocent against deception and the weak against oppression. And whereas the men and women of the Upper Marion Township Police Department unceasingly provide a vital public service, now, therefore, the Board of Supervisors call upon all citizens of Upper Marion Township and upon all patriotic, civic, and educational organizations to observe the week of May 11th to May 17th, 2025 as Police Week and May 15th as Peace Officers Memorial Day, with appropriate ceremonies and observances in which all of our people may join in, commemorating law enforcement officers, past and present, who, by their faithful and loyal devotion to their responsibilities, have rendered a dedicated service to their communities, and in so doing, have established for themselves an enviable and enduring reputation for preserving the rights of all citizens. Proclaimed this 15th day of May, 2025, by the Board of Supervisors, Upper Merion Township, attested by Anthony Hamaday, Township Manager, and Upper Merion Township Board of Supervisors, William Genoway, Vice Chairperson. Okay, I'll give this to you.
Thank you.
All right, thank you.
Thank you for your support.
Thank you for everything that you all do for us every single day. We appreciate it.
Thanks.
Okay.
Thank you, Lieutenant Fisher. Please pass on to the troops our sincere thanks to all of them for the work they do for us every day.
I will.
Thank you. Okay, the next one is National Public Works Week Proclamation. Mr. Phillips.
Thank you, Mr. Vice Chair. It's kind of fitting that as former Civil Engineer Corps officer, public works person, both as an employee for civilian as the Navy, Navy civilian as well as a Civil Engineer Corps officer, it's my honor to kind of do this tonight. National Public Works Week Proclamation. The week is May 18th through the 24th of 2025. People, purpose, and presence. Whereas public works professionals focus on infrastructure, facilities, and services that are of vital importance to sustainable and resilient communities and to public health, high quality of life, and well-being of the people of Upper Merion Township. And whereas these infrastructures, facilities, and services could not be provided without the dedicated efforts of public works professionals who are engineers, managers, employees at all levels of government and the private sector who are responsible for rebuilding, improving, and protecting our nation's transportation, water supply, water treatment, and solid waste systems, public buildings, and other structures and facilities essential to our citizens. And whereas it is in the public interest for the citizens, civic leaders, and the children in Upper Merion Township to gain knowledge of and maintain an ongoing interest and understanding of the importance of public works and public works programs in their respective communities. And whereas the year 2025 marks the 65th anniversary, annual National Public Works Week sponsored by the American Public Works Association and the Canadian Public Works Association, be it now resolved that I, Greg Phillips of the Upper Merion Township Board of Supervisors, do hereby designate the work of the week of May 18th through the 24th, 2025, as National Public Works Week. I urge all citizens to join with representatives of the American Public Works Association and government agencies in activities, events, and ceremonies designed to pay tribute to our public works professionals, engineers, managers, and employees, and to recognize the substantial contributions that they make to protecting our national health, safety, and advancing quality of life for all. In witness whereof, they have hereunto set their hand and caused the seal of the township to be affixed, done at Upper Merion Township Building, Montgomery County, this 15th day of May. Anthony Hamaday, Township Manager, and William Genoway, Vice Chair. Thank you.
Thank you. And presenting those proclamations. I was remiss, I should have announced that our chairperson, Mrs. Garzillo, is out of town tonight and unable to participate in the meeting. That takes us to presentation by the Board of Community Assistance to announce the 2025 BCA award recipients. I see Dr. Karen from the BCA board here with us, and I'm assuming you're going to do the presentation.
I am. thank you, Dr. Genoway, Vice Chair Genoway, excuse me. Today I'm reporting on the work that the Board of Community Assistance did in our deliberative way in deciding on awards to community members, sport organizations, and scholarship students who receive scholarships. The Board of Community Assistance was established in 2013 through a partnership between the Upper Merion Township and the Valley Forge Casino Resort. We advise the Board of Supervisors, that's what we're doing tonight, on providing assistance with monies received from the Valley Forge Casino Resort. We have nonprofit and 501c3 organizations who propose projects which directly impact Upper Merion community residents, and we offer scholarships to high school juniors and seniors who reside in Upper Merion Township and who plan to attend college or other post-secondary education. They apply by proposing different community service projects, and we evaluate them on that basis. So far, the BCA has awarded over $2,070,000 in grants. The BCA members are Brett Montique, who is our chair, Lydia Dan-Sardinas, and I are the appointed community members. The Valley Forge Casino Report representatives are Martha Morales and our vice chair, Donna Hogan. Jerry Vadimo is our staff liaison, and Greg Wax is our supervisor liaison. He provides a lot of good foundational knowledge for us as we evaluate the different proposals. This year, we received a total of 70 applications. 44 from organizations, 2 from sports organizations, and 24 scholarship applications. And we awarded 58 of them, 39 to organizations, 2 for sports, and 17 for scholarships. And we awarded $207,116.79. I'll go through first the sports and organizations awards, followed by the scholarship awards. For sports, we awarded $1,300 to the Upper Merion Lacrosse Club for turf blankets for the Hoyser Park fields, and $1,500 to the King of Prussia Soccer Club for their outreach program in King of Prussia, for the soccer club in King of Prussia. Organizations, the Upper Merion Area School District High School Interact Club was awarded $500 to help them sponsor an American Red Cross blood drive. Upper Merion Spring, which provides adaptive programs for special needs children, exercise and sports skills, were awarded $640. Upper Merion Girl Scout Service Unit 640 was awarded $700 for their work with the Upper Merion Township Dr. Martin Luther King Day of Service. The Upper Merion Township Outdoor Pool was awarded $800 for community water safety programs for children and families. The King of Prussia Rotary Foundation proposed using the Josh the Otter Water Safety Program, and they were awarded $1,000. The Upper Merion Community Garden was awarded $1,000 for the solar-powered charging station. The Upper Merion Dr. MLK National Holiday Committee was awarded $1,000 for their work in producing that annual celebration. The Upper Merion Girl Scout Service Unit 640 was awarded $1,000 for their proposal to do Earth Day tree planting for the Ross Road field. $1,200 was awarded to Friends of Black History for a Black History celebration. The LoveWorks Resource Center proposed providing Maggie's Love Boxes, and they were awarded $1,500. The Upper Merion Area School District Bridgeport Elementary School was awarded $1,500 for a book vending machine literacy project. $2,000 was awarded to the Upper Merion Environmental Advisory Council, Shade Tree Commission, and Sanitary and Stormwater Authority for their native plant and stormwater education project. The LoveWorks Resource Center was awarded $2,000 for their proposal to do family-based community music therapy groups. The Upper Merion Area School District middle school fifth grade teachers proposed their annual college settlement trip, outdoor school field trip for fifth graders, and they were awarded $2,000. The Upper Merion Area School District Social Work Department was awarded $2,000 for their emergency fund to help them put on their Thanksgiving dinner. The Upper Merion Parks and Rec Department was awarded $2,000 for the Teen Sports Leadership Academy. The Children's Charity of Delaware Valley, Variety, was awarded $2,000 for recreational equipment for youth with disabilities. The Upper Merion Township Library was awarded $2,250 for their proposal to get mobile storage for children's programs and makerspace. The Literacy Council of Norristown was awarded $2,500 for their adult education programs. Just to be clear, it's the Literacy Council of Norristown, but they do serve Upper Merion residents. The Autism Society of Greater Philadelphia partnered with the Upper Merion Township Library to propose art games and chit-chat for adults with disabilities, and they were awarded $3,000. The Upper Merion Shade Tree Commission was awarded $3,000 for their proposal for residential tree canopy enhancement in various Upper Merion Township neighborhoods. The Upper Merion Area School District Horns Up PBIS, that's a positive behavioral system, was awarded $3,000 to implement that program. The Upper Merion Area School District High School World Language Honor Society Club proposed a Global Voices Library for Language and Culture project, and they were awarded $3,000. Victim Services Center of Montgomery County was awarded $3,000 for their hotline. They do serve Upper Merion residents. Access Services Incorporated, working with the Upper Merion Area School District, was awarded $4,000, expanding their youth crisis prevention services for our youth. Boy Scouts of America, Troop 551, King of Prussia, was awarded $4,000 to help an Eagle Scout project produce a garden shed for the LoveWorks Co-op Garden. Honor Flight Philadelphia, which was awarded $4,000 for a trip that they're organizing for our veterans. Laurel House, which serves domestic violence abuse victims, were awarded $4,000 for emergency shelter and supportive services. We awarded $4,000 for Neighborhood Meals on Wheels that provides meals five days a week, 52 weeks a year. Upper Merion Emergency Aid proposed a back-to-school project providing new sneakers, shoes, socks to Upper Merion Area School District students through the Social Work Department of the school district. They were awarded $4,000. The Upper Merion Senior Service Center was awarded $4,500 to replace computer hardware and to help provide transportation to cultural events. The Cradle of Liberty of the Boy Scouts of America was awarded $5,000 for an outdoor STEM education field trip for Upper Merion elementary students. The King of Prussia district was awarded $5,000 to support their highway litter removal program. The LoveWorks Resource Center was awarded $5,000 to help with their building a safe and secure roof for their center. The Mitzvah Circle Foundation was awarded $5,000 for their proposal to help families with critical needs with a diaper bank program and period supply programs. The Upper Marion Area School District was awarded $5,000 for their girls robotic team to 2025 to 26 to launch an all-girls tech challenge robotic team. The Upper Marion Area Community Cupboard was awarded $7,000 for their emergency housing fund. Upper Marion Township Fire and EMT was awarded $18,000 for mobile data computers for fire department apparatus. And finally, the Upper Marion Area Community Cupboard was awarded $20,000 to help with their important work in the community. We now move to the scholarships. $2,000, and just to remind you, each of these students applied to the BCA proposing specific community service projects, which we deemed useful and implementable and doable. So these are the successful recipients of the scholarships. $2,000 scholarships go to Maura Bez, Makina McKay, Kathleen Payne. $2,500 scholarships go to Michael Bugler, Michael Galban. $3,000 scholarships go to Ishani Bansal and Xavier Bernardo. I apologize for any mispronunciations. Trevin Liney gets a $3,000 scholarship. $4,000 scholarships go to Shailen Jordan and Sudeshna Suresh. The Ronald G. Wagenman Scholarship, which is a $5,000 scholarship, goes to Tristan Albright and Claire Gardner, also to Quinn Lai and L. Mead, and to Prerna Singh and Mason Yu. The General von Steuben Scholarship of $10,000 goes to Chloe Wardlow. All of these folks are invited to the awards reception at the Valley Forge Casino Resort on Wednesday, June 4th, 2025, from 5:30 to 7:30 p.m. A good time will be had by all. I'm basing that on past awards receptions at the casino, and all of the recipients and their families are invited. Thank you very much. Any questions?
Thank you, Dr. Karen, and thank the board members for all of their work. I know this is one of our hardworking boards, and I know that you put in a lot of time for this. And congratulations to all the winners, and I'm going to pass it off to Supervisor Wax, who I know has a few comments.
Thank you, Mr. Genoway. Thank you, Mr. Karen. I also know Chair Montique is here, so thank you very much for the work you do. Thanks to Ms. Dan Sardinas, and thanks to our two members from Valley Forge Casino Resort. As I've said in previous years, this is a labor. This is not easy, but it's also a labor of love because you're able to do a lot of good in the community. I do read every single application, and I know that sometimes very difficult choices have to be made. But it is always fascinating to hear the BCA members work through each and every single application and talk about why they like this application and what issues they may have with some other applications, or why they prefer one application to another, and have to defend or advocate their position. At the recent joint meeting with the BCA, I made the comment that for the first time, because I do read every application, a BCA discussion actually changed my mind on the status of an application, what I would do if I was a member of the BCA, and the quality of that discussion, if I was a member of the BCA, would have changed my decision to not support that application to supporting that application. That's how deep and intense the conversations are. I also want to take a moment to encourage every organization or student who has eligibility in future years who did not receive a grant or scholarship to apply again in the future, and to take advantage of the opportunities that exist to speak with the BCA members about what can improve their application. BCA members go into the public schools year after year to talk about how to improve applications. And there was an open forum that was held this year in Henderson, in the Henderson Room, a few weeks prior to the BCA application date, where organizations can come in and talk with BCA members about how they can best submit their application. And several organizations did come in this year, as they did last year, and there's no doubt in my mind it actually improved the caliber of their application. Lastly, I just want to once again thank the BCA for all the hard work. It is a lot of work that has to be done in a very short amount of time. And I look forward to seeing all the recipients at the upcoming award ceremony. I think Mr. Genoway will mention the date and time. The attendance at the award ceremonies is outstanding. The casino really puts on a very good reception. And I would really once again encourage everybody to attend. And I look forward to seeing everybody there. And with that, I will I'd like to make a motion to approve the recommendations of the BCA.
We have a motion and a second to approve the recommendations of the BCA, which will be presented on June the 4th, Wednesday, 5:30 to 7:30 p.m. at the Valley Forge Casino Resort. And are there any comments from the members of the board? Any comments from the public?
Can I just add that what Supervisor Wax said about deep and intense discussions were very deliberative, very collaborative, and very friendly. So despite some of the disagreements, we all left being a very happy and unified board as we decided on these awards. So,
if I didn't make the point well, what I was trying to state is that yes, everybody has to read every application, and they've got to be able to defend their position, but they've got to also be able to compare and contrast to other applications. And it's very interesting to see how different members of the BCA, both members of the BCA now, and by the way, past members of the BCA, value different things. So.
Thank you. And seeing no other comments, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Pass 4-0. Thank you again for that diligent work to create these awards. Thank you. That takes us to the consent agenda. And I will read these off. It's fairly long tonight. First item, consideration of a business tax appeal settlement for the American College of Financial Services. Approval of the business tax appeal submitted by the ACFS, 630 Allendale Road, Suite 400, King of Prussia, PA, 19406, for the interest in the amount of $2,205 for the tax year 2021. Item number two, consideration of a business tax appeal settlement for Girdhar Mathur. Approval of the business tax appeal submitted by Girdhar Mathur, 422 Jean Drive, King of Prussia, PA, for the tax year 2021 for the penalty and interest in the amount of $143.60. Number three, permission to advertise public hearings at the June 12, 2025 business meeting on the following proposed ordinances: the Verizon Cable Franchise Agreement and Pershing Street Parking Restrictions. Item number four, permission to advertise a public hearing at the July 17, 2025 business meeting on the KPMU Ordinance Amendment. Number five, auto theft motor vehicle insurance fraud intergovernmental agreement ratification of the agreement between the Township and the Pennsylvania State Police to provide reimbursement to the Township for expenses related to participation in the Auto Theft Task Force. Number six, approve letters of support for the historical significance of the former GSK campus. Item number seven, approval of a part-time library assistant position. Number eight, approval of library policy, children and vulnerable adults in the library. Number nine, resolution 2025-9, disposition of township vehicles to J.J. Kane Auctions of Plymouth Meeting for an estimated sale value of $15,000. Number 10, 2025 Road Program Project Recommendation to award the 2025 Road Resurfacing Project Bid to Alan Myers, LP of Worcester, PA, in the amount of $795,100.45, as recommended by the Director of Public Works and the bid consultant. Should this pass, I will be reading off those streets that would be affected by this project a little bit later in our evening. Item number 11, Resolution 2025-10, Stream Bank Stabilization at Ballygamingo Pump Station, approval of a grant application in the amount of $162,000 for a flood mitigation grant from the Commonwealth Financing Authority to stabilize the flood-damaged stream bank at Ballygamingo Road Pump Station. And number 12, approve Alvin Wong to serve as the Medical Director of Special Operations for Upper Marion Township Fire and EMS, the Medical Stroke Unit. And that concludes the consent agenda. May I have a motion?
Make a motion to adopt the consent agenda.
I'll second.
Motion by Supervisor Phillips, seconded by Supervisor Wax to adopt the consent agenda. Any questions or comments from members of the board?
Mr. Vice Chair, I only have one comment, which is on item number 6. Many of us may drive past this building every day, and you don't know it, but the GlaxoSmithKline headquarters on 320, just above River Road there, is a architectural marvel in many respects, the least of which is the fact that it has biomedical clean rooms and all that kind of stuff in it. But in its heyday, it was the number one architectural design for the time. So this letter of support really goes a long way for at least the historical commission part of me that will help to preserve that and at least have it documented and in the records as a historical building, as well as the significance of the designers who were from the Philadelphia area and the design itself. So I'm certainly in favor of this particular consent agenda item. Thank you, Mr. Vice Chair.
Thank you, Supervisor Phillips. Anything else? Anything from the audience? Hearing and seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Passes 4-0. Item number E, Resolution 2025-11, to borrow proceeds reimbursement for 2025-26 for capital project expenses. And this is consideration of this resolution to provide reimbursement to the township for expenses incurred for the proposed 2025-26 capital projects from the proceeds of any bonds, notes, or other instruments issued for the projects as outlined in said resolution. I'll entertain a motion to accept.
So moved.
I'll second.
Motion by Supervisor Wax, seconded by Supervisor Kenny to adopt Resolution 2025-11. Are there any comments from the board? Comments from the public? Hearing and seeing none, it's in a position to be voted on. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Passes 4-0. And it's now time to pay the bills and payroll.
You got it.
I'll make a motion to pay the bills.
I'll second.
Motion by Supervisor Phillips, seconded by Supervisor Wax to proceed with paying of the accounts payable and payroll. Any questions from the board? Questions from the public? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Passes 4-0. Additional business. I know a couple of our members have it. Let's start with Mr. Wax.
Thank you, Mr. Vice Chair. I have three matters of additional business. I'm going to start off with two because I think Supervisor Phillips is going to take one of mine also. So let me start off with these two. First and foremost, at the Pennsylvania State Association of Township Supervisors Conference, which was recently held, Upper Marion Township received the top overall communication award for second-class townships in the Commonwealth. This is the fourth time in, I believe, the last 8 years that Upper Marion Township has won the best overall communicating second-class township prize. Numerous times over these past 8 years, Upper Marion Township has also received sub-prizes for communications in various categories. That might include things like newsletter design, website design, specific story, so on and so forth. This really is a testament to the great work that is done by our Public Information Office. So congratulations to Don Herbert and Tiffany Cherry and every single person who works and has worked in that office over the years. Also to our Media Communications Advisory Board, which really has done a stellar job in providing feedback over the years to the Public Information Office. I look forward to seeing future awards won by our Public Information Office in the coming years. Because once you are the standard, you have to maintain that standard. Secondly, speaking of public information, I also want to remind our residents that in the coming months, you are going to see an all-new township website. And one of the features of the township website is a chatbot. And we have the ability to name our chatbot. And that leads me to the next announcement, which is help Upper Merion Township name the chatbot for our new website. Please excuse me while I read off the piece of paper. Upper Merion Township is excited to announce the development of a new and improved website launched this summer. One of the improvements is the inclusion of a chatbot that will assist visitors with finding information on the site quickly. Our chatbot will need a name, and the township is asking residents to help pick one. Submit your suggestions along with your name, address, and email address through our online form before June 30, 2025. The link to the form will be available tomorrow in Upper Merion Township's e-newsletter, on our social media, and on our township website. We do ask that you please submit names of an appropriate nature. The Board of Supervisors will make the final selection and announce it at an upcoming business meeting. Thank you, Mr. Vice Chair. I'm so used to turning it over to Supervisor Garzillo, to Chair Garzillo. I just automatically say that. But I do think that this is a fun contest to be able to provide a name for a tool in a chatbot that will be able to find anybody who goes onto a township website, be able to find information easily. The media board has recently, during past meetings, looked at what other municipalities have done with their chatbots, and they are very, very effective in being able to provide all who put information into the chatbot with information, accurate information, very rapidly. Now, thank you, Mr. Vice Chair.
Thank you, Supervisor Wax. Since you mentioned PSAS, I'll add at this point, the members of the board attended the annual conference of the Pennsylvania State Association of Township Supervisors. There were over 5,000 elected officials at this conference. There were over 100 exhibitors that were at the conference, and there were sessions for three solid days. And it's important to understand, it wasn't just supervisors. Solicitors are there, engineers are there, township engineers are there, our public works executives are there, and many police chiefs are there as well. The goal of this conference is education, collaboration, and we also reviewed 28 pieces of legislation that at the state level would adversely, or in some cases positively, impact local government second-class townships. Second-class townships are one of seven forms of government in the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, and there are more second-class townships than there are all of the other six combined in Pennsylvania. So second-class townships matter when it comes to legislative priorities, and second-class township voices are heard by legislators in Pennsylvania. And that's why we voted in several cases to not support various pieces of legislation and authorize the lobbyist for the Second Class Township Association to move forward and object for various reasons on those pieces of legislation. I would add that of the 1,100 second class townships in the Commonwealth, they range in size from just over 100 people in a very small picturesque township in north central Pennsylvania to over 90,000 in Mill Creek, which is in Erie County, just outside of the city of Erie. Upper Merion Township is one of the top 10 in population of second-class townships out of the 1,000-plus that exist in Pennsylvania. So we also take part in a forum on municipalities over the population of 10,000, and it's amazing how we are so far ahead of our peer municipalities in dealing with various types of challenges and problems. So with that being said, Mrs. Kenny, do you have any comments tonight?
I just have a reminder that Saturday is our first Upper Marion Township Farmers Market, the first of the season. It's 10 to 2 at Norview Farm, and it's Strawberry Festival Day, so come, bring your family, bring your dogs, and some bags so that you can be ready to purchase wonderful items. Produce and desserts and all kinds of condiments and specialties. So hope to see you Saturday at the market.
Thank you. Mr. Phelps?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Vice Chair. I just want to go back. I'm very happy to see that the BCA is awarding a grant of $4,000 to Honor Flight. If you don't know what that is, it is a nonprofit organization that specializes in World War II, Korean, and Vietnam vets, getting them together and being able to take them to Washington, D.C. to be able to view their individual memorials. So if you're a Vietnam vet, you know, you'll be able to get to the Vietnam Memorial. By the way, that is actually coming through Upper Marion here shortly in June. Mr. Hamaday, what day is that? So while he's looking for that, they will send the Korean War vets to the Korean Memorial as well as the World War II Memorial in D.C. This is taking, they're leaving actually, the next flight is actually leaving here from King of Prussia bright and early, as we say in the military, at O-Dark 30. They will be leaving from the Upper Marion Middle School at 450 Keebler Road in King of Prussia. Transportation, breakfast, and lunch are all provided. It is gratis to the vets. And if you're interested and you're a veteran and you're interested in actually going on this particular flight, you can go to www.honorflightphiladelphia.org/apply. And a special shout out to the organizers of this particular flight, which is Kim McDonald and our own Paul Salome, who is a Navy, retired Navy commander like I am, who served this country honorably for many years. He's been very active in this particular organization. And the Vietnam Memorial will be, or the replica will be coming through on
July 8th at approximately 10:50, the procession of the wall that heals, or the replica, will pass the township building. And we will be escorting it with the PD through the township. So on July 8th, about 10:50, if you want to park here and line up along the front of the building, you'll be able to view the procession.
And that is a very powerful statement for all vets who have served their country. So with that, if you're interested, please go to the website.
when the vets come back, Republicans
yeah. Right, and I was remiss in that. So the day is a very long day, but when the vets come back, they will be bused to the middle school, at which point the Honor Flight folks will prepare a very nice reception, and all the families are absolutely encouraged to attend for that welcome home reception. So with that, Mr. Vice Chair.
If I could add one piece of information, and that was my third matter, I'm pretty confident you're going to get to it. That will be at 4:30 p.m. for people who want to attend the welcome home for our vets.
Okay, might I suggest that somebody put all this information together in the township newsletter going forward so that it's all in one place, if it's not there already?
I think the Honor Flight information was in the last week's newsletter.
And okay, yeah. Great. Thank you. Okay, thanks.
Okay, thank you. I have a couple of things to close out with. The first one is we got an award for our communications in the township, and we also earned two of them for wastewater and for our services in public works. So Janet Surfaz-Hiriak earned the Roy F. Weston Award from the Pennsylvania Water Environment Association, which acknowledges significant individual contributions in the field of industrial waste management. And she will be receiving that award at the Pentec Conference in June. And on a related note, Pentec also awarded its Industrial Waste Excellence Award to the Upper Marion Sanitary and Stormwater Authority, recognizing outstanding performance in the area of industrial waste management in Pennsylvania. So congratulations to those recipients as well. Earlier, I mentioned that we would be doing some road work. So let me tell you where that road work is going to be done. This is the 2025 resurfacing program. And I don't have dates or times, but Gypsy Lane between Longview and Pine Hill, Stony Brook between the school entrance to Prince Frederick Street, Country Lane, Prince Frederick Street to Hillview Road, Heritage Lane from Stony Brook to Country Lane, Kerwood Drive from Croton Road to the cul-de-sac, Century Lane from Croton Road to the cul-de-sac, Tannery Drive from Century Lane to the dead end, and Winthrop Lane from Tannery Drive to Kerwood Drive. And these will be posted on various township communication sources going forward.
Most likely they won't start till school is out for the year, so probably end of June, July, so they will be posted.
Yeah. Okay. The next item. I'm sure many of you are well aware of the challenges posed by the 202 sinkhole remediation project. And a meeting was held this past week with PennDOT representatives to get a better understanding of the status of the situation and where they plan to move forward with this. Recognize Upper Marion Township has no care, custody, or control over this project. This is completely a PennDOT project. However, we can attempt to exert influence and or pressure where we believe it needs to be done. And we thought it was time to get involved in this because of what appeared to be delays. So here are a couple of key points that came out of that meeting. The PennDOT team stated that one of the reasons for the delay of the startup was due to determining that there was an increased cost associated with the project. They had to secure additional funding, cold weather set in, and they postponed the start date. There was a substantial amount of pilot holes, 70, that needed to be drilled to locate underground utilities. They indicated that the current maps did not have the utilities properly identified for the location. Grout hole locations had to be re-engineered and moved due to the actual utility locations. This then changed their timeline and created a delay for the startup of another project on Route 29, not in Upper Marion Township. They are now discussing adding additional shifts and plan to start a six-day Monday through Saturday schedule this coming week, as well as bringing in new machinery so that both jobs can proceed simultaneously. The topic then moved to southbound 202 and what will need to be done when that water lines have to be replaced. And they were made aware of the challenges to access to the property owners, both businesses and residential, on the southbound side, and are going to be looking at a better plan than completely shutting that down southbound. They will consider making northbound two-way or create some type of shoulder access along southbound 202. That's a to be determined and to be worked on. There was also a discussion about adding signage for no left turns along South Henderson Road at the ingress for PNC Bank and the nail salon, as well as the Fortune Off Chick-fil-A Wawa. If you are exiting those areas, left turns are prohibited. I just talked to the police before the meeting started tonight, and I asked if there is an issue there, will you be cited? And they said yes. So left turns are illegal. I personally have seen multiple cars make the left-hand turn, block traffic in attempting to make those left-hand turns, and all that does is increase the probability of some type of an incident to occur. PennDOT did acknowledge that better communication is needed, and they will be providing a website to monitor the progress, and we will be having another meeting at the beginning of June to hopefully improve upon status definition as well as improved communication. I have two other quick items. Yes, go ahead, Ms. Kenny.
Okay, I was in that conference last week with PennDOT along with Chair Garzillo and Representative Briggs and Senator Cappelletti and about, I don't know, a dozen people from PennDOT. They were really trying to listen to us. They were trying to work with us and work with our concerns. We'll see. They did start work this week as promised. They said they would be starting as of Monday, and they are there. And I would just add that the 6-day-a-week work schedule is for 10-hour days, not 8-hour days. So that's a help. And they may be putting on a second shift of 10 hours as well. So they're listening to us. Going forward, we're concerned about the businesses and residences on the southbound lane, especially because there is no other access. At least the way it is right now, where it's they're working on the northbound lanes, you can get around to everywhere by going down Henderson to Solon Boulevard and back up 202 North. There is no such alternative for the southbound lanes. So that's the real big hang-up that we have, and we're trying to, as Mr. Genoway said, we're trying to work through that. And we anticipate having probably meetings with them, virtual meetings on Zoom, every 2 weeks once we have the next meeting in the first week in June. So we hear you, and we all know that this is at Upper Marion is a huge gateway to north and south on 202, and it's a huge interruption. And we're doing our best to work with them, and we're taking them at their word that they're going to follow through with what they're looking at and how they're trying to accomplish this. Hopefully, by doing two 10-hour tours, so to speak, it'll speed up this process, and that's what we're hoping for. So that's it.
Thank you, Mrs. Kenny. And to her point about us being the gateway, I know that we hear a lot about development and we hear a lot about concerns over traffic and so on, but I think what we all have to understand is that Upper Marion Township was built because of roadways. And because all roads start and end here, we have a unique opportunity and we have a unique challenge. And that opportunity is business growth and the fact that people want to live here. And the King of Prussia District released its annual report just recently, and there were a couple of key points in there I think are worth noting. Number one, while communities around us try to struggle, in fact, all through the state they try and struggle, and we heard that over and over at the PSATS conference, Upper Marion has less than a 10% vacancy rate in their rental properties for businesses. That's an enormously low number and extremely valuable to the economy of the community and of the region. The trips, most of which are through Upper Marion, not to or from Upper Marion, remember that, it's going through here, and the trips have increased. And there's a constant analysis of this, but those trips have increased. Everyone knows it, and everyone is trying to make accommodations to understand that. The Upper Marion Township is probably the largest life sciences business center now outside of Center City, Philadelphia, in the region. And that is Pennsylvania, New Jersey, Delaware, and Maryland. And I think we have to understand that businesses want to come here. Those are high-paying jobs. They are good quality jobs. And they will bring great people to the community. And they will occupy our houses and continue to grow wealth in our community. We are also investing significantly. We bought two significant sized parcels to commit to green space, and there have been significant efforts in the First Avenue Linear Park and some other park areas in the township. But most importantly, all of this wraps around the fact that in last year, Upper Marion Township was rated by Fortune Magazine as the number two place on the list of the 50 best places to live for families. The bottom line is people want to live here, people want to work here. We have, frankly, one hell of a community. That being said, my last item to give you information on tonight, I was asked to communicate this by Fire Marshal Bill DeWalt, and they, Fire Marshal's office, collaboratively with our communications media services team, wanted you to know about some concerns that are developing with a variety of products that you use every day. And the reason for this is that last week we experienced the first e-bike fire in Upper Marion Township. Prior to that, we also had a significant fire in a trash truck because of a discarded lithium-ion battery that was defective. So this was created as a result of some of the challenges that have been occurring. Lithium-ion batteries supply power to various devices, including smartphones, laptops, e-scooters, e-bikes, e-cigarettes, smoke alarms, toys, and even cars. If not used correctly or if damaged, these batteries can catch fire or explode. The problem is that the batteries store a large amount of energy in a small amount of space, and sometimes the batteries are not used correctly. They are not designed for the specific use that they are being used for. And like any product, a small number of the batteries are defective and they can overheat, catch fire, or explode. Stop using the battery if you notice any of the following: odor, change in color, excessive heat, deformation, leakage, or unusual noises. If it is safe to do so, move the device away from anything that can catch fire and call 911. Unintended consequences have results from every type of new product, and all we're seeing here are some of these unintended consequences, and we just have to understand what the challenges are and be able to deal with it. So remember, purchase and use devices that are listed on a qualified testing laboratory's list. Always follow the manufacturer's instructions. Use only the battery that's designed for that device. Put batteries in the device the right way. Only use the charging cord that came with the device. Do not charge a device under your pillow, on your bed, or on a couch. Do not keep the charging device or the device battery after it is fully charged. Keep batteries at room temperature when possible. Do not charge them at temperatures below 32 or above 105. Store the batteries away from anything that can catch fire. And here's the main thing. Do not dispose of lithium-ion batteries in the trash. Recycling is always the best option. Take them to a designated battery recycling center, and we're in the process of identifying those in Upper Marion. It's my understanding Home Depot is a center where you can take them to. When charging an e-bike, charge your battery on a flat, dry area away from children, direct sunlight, liquids, tripping hazards, and in a location where the e-bike is not at the risk of falling. Store e-bikes, e-scooters, and batteries away from exit doors and anything that can get hot or catch fire. Only have the device repaired by or performed by a qualified professional. And of course, if you see a fire, leave the building immediately because the fire will emit highly toxic smoke, become a large, rapid spreading fire in just a minute or two, and the fire will burn extremely hot. Don't try to fight the fire. Get out of the house or your apartment and call 911. So in recent months, we have had fire experiences on an e-bike, vaping devices, portable photo booth, iPads, multiple phones and multiple iPads, and as I mentioned earlier, a discarded battery in a trash truck where the trash truck had to dump its load to be able to extinguish the fire. So again, it's the next generation. We all know that, we all understand it, but we have to use tools and products in a safe manner and understand when we have any type of device, we don't use it for something it's not intended, like a battery for something it's not intended to be powering something. With that, my last comment, have a safe Memorial Day. And please keep in mind that Memorial Day, which is coming up in just a few short days, is a time to honor and to mourn the U.S. military personnel who died in the line of duty while protecting our freedoms. Anything else from members of the board? I'll entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second.
Motion and a second to adjourn. All in favor?
Aye.
We are adjourned. Thank you very much, folks, and have a happy Memorial Day.